Nim's Island, Chapter 6. Nim woke up thinking about Alex Rover's raft. You can't hammer two coconuts together, she decided, but if I had a thin piece of board and lined the coconuts in rows, I could hammer a nail through the board and into the coconuts. But coconuts are hard to hold still while you hammer. They roll around so that sometimes you hit the wrong thing. Ouch! Nim yelled, so loud and so often that Fred went to sulk in his cave in case it was his fault. After 2 hours, she had a black and blue thumb and a pile of coconut for lunch, and one unsmashed coconut. Let's go and see Chica, said Nim. Chica was resting on the damp sand, watching the tide go out. She blinked happily when she saw what her friends were carrying. Chica's favorite game was coconut soccer. That was what Nim called it, because soccer was the only ball she'd seen a picture of, and because nobody else has ever thought of a name for a game with a girl, a sea lion, a turtle, and an iguana, all trying to be the first to get a floating coconut to shore. There were no rules except that Selkie wasn't supposed to pull Fred's tail, and Chica wasn't supposed to sit on the coconut underwater. Selkie cheated a lot. Chica didn't cheat much, but when she did, she was very good at it. So Nim threw the coconut into the water, and Fred dashed at it because he was the fastest and best at guessing where it would land. And Selkie sneaked under him and splashed the nut across the sea. Then she tried to throw Fred across the sea too, but Nim saw her and shouted. And while Selkie was trying to look innocent, Chica grabbed the coconut. She tucked it tight under her strong turtle chin and didn't even notice everyone tickling and pulling, wrestling and shoving. She towed them all toward the beach, and when she got to the edge of the water, she sank to the bottom with the coconut under her and wouldn't move. And since no one could move Chica, if she didn't want them to, that was the end of the game. It's a tie, said Nim. Chica can't say she's won if the coconut's still in the water, so it's zero all. Chica looked as smug as a green turtle can look and didn't seem to mind at all. Late in the afternoon, Nim walked around Keyhole Cove to check the coconuts. All 20 were still bobbing cheerfully around the cove, bumping and floating, loose and free. I've got it, Nim shouted. 2, a.k.a. at incognito.net. From Jack Russo at explorer.net. Date, Saturday, 3 April, 1820. 1820. Dear Alex Rover, I've been thinking about how you would make a raft. Hammering coconuts onto a board doesn't work because the shell breaks, and if it didn't break right away, I think bits of it would fall off later, and then the raft might sink. What if you put the coconuts in a sort of bag? How would you make the bag? Where are you going on your raft? From Nim. 2. Jack.Russo at explorer.net. From aka at incognito.net. Date, Saturday, 3 April, 1323. Dear Nim, I feel like a queen bee lazing while you buzz. A bag raft sounds perfect. Now I just need a reason for my hero to find a large sack on a deserted tropical island. Or maybe that bad guys stick him in a sack when they throw him overboard, as long as they don't tie it up too well. My hero's going to a tiny Pacific island, where, faster than a shopper at a half-price sale, he'll set off again to rescue the lady hero. I'll be sitting at home, snug as a snail in its shell. I've attached a map I've drawn for the story. Click on the icon. With best wishes, Alex. Nim clicked. Her stomach somersaulted. She stared at the map on the wall, and the map on the screen, and the map on the wall again. Jack liked maps. He drew maps of their island, the currents around it, and the places where they'd sailed. And because their island wasn't on the big map of the world, he'd drawn it on that too, near the crossing of two lines. The one going around the world's middle like a belt, and an up and down line curving with the shape of the earth. "This is the Hero's Island," Nim whispered. "And that must mean..."
"Selkie! Fred!" she shouted.
"Alex Rover's been to our island!"
"I think," she added a little while later.
It took a long time to go to sleep that night.
Next morning, Nim sang her way through the weeding, the digging, and the picking. She hummed as she measured and marked her charts, and she sang so loudly when she climbed Lookout Palm to check for sails that a seagull dropped his fish.
"That's what we'll do today," said Nim, and slid down the tree. She got her fishing rod and met Fred and Selkie at Turtle Beach. Chica was grazing the seaweed just where the water started to get deep. Selkie didn't like Nim to swim out deep, but she let her dive and visit for just a minute. Fred stayed with Chica to see if she'd find an interesting sea plant he'd never eaten before. Selkie chased Nim back and went out deeper to fish, and Nim climbed up the rocks where she'd left her rod. The rod was bamboo, strong and springy. Jack had made it for her birthday and taught her to cast the line in a whistling arc. The best part of fishing, Nim thought. That was why she hated getting a fish first go. It was like finishing a ball game after one catch. 7 tries this time, and then a fish dancing silver on the end of her line. It was a good one to eat, the right size. "Sorry, fish," said Nim, and killed it quickly. That was the part she didn't like. Selkie did, though. No matter how far away or how deep she was swimming, she always knew the instant that Nim had caught something. "Wait," Nim ordered, but it was hard for Selkie to be patient when fish were being cleaned and she was waiting for the guts and bits that Nim didn't want. When the fish was cleaned and Selkie had stopped barking for more, Nim wrapped it in leaves and built a bonfire on the beach. She dragged some fallen down branches and driftwood into a pile and used dried palm leaves for kindling. When Nim and Jack had a fire at night, they used matches, but matches were precious because they came on the supply ship. So in the daytime, they used glass and the sun's own fire. She unscrewed the lens from her spyglass. She pointed it so that the sun shot a bright beam on her kindling. A brown patch grew and glowed, and a small flame sparkled on the dry palm fronds. Caught the small branches and began to roar. Then she dropped a sweet potato into the hot coals and toasted her fish on a long stick. After lunch, they all lay on the edge of the beach. The tide rippled over them, and when it started to float them away, they moved farther up. Nim got a book and read with her legs in the water and the rest of her on the sand. And every few minutes she looked up to watch for sails and wait for email that time. 2, a.k.a. at incognito.net. From jack.russo at explorer.net. Date, Sunday the 4th of April, 6:26 p.m. Dear Alex Rover, I have never been so excited in my whole life, at least not since Fred learned to climb on my shoulders when I whistled. Are you really the hero, and have you been to our island? Because your map is exactly like our map, and your hero's island is exactly where our island is. Is that how you knew what Keyhole Cove looked like and Turtle Beach? Are you going to come back? From Nim. To Jack Russo at explorer.net, from aka at incognito.net. Date, Sunday, 4th of April, 1:29 p.m. Dear Nim, this is as crazy wonderful as, well, I can't think of anything as crazy wonderful as an author making up an island and then emailing someone who lives there. I'll tell you how it happened. I made up a story about a brave hero and beautiful lady hero who sail around the world doing good things for science. To make the story exciting, I made up some bad guys who stole the boat, kidnapped the lady hero, and threw the hero overboard. But because the story needs a happy ending, I made up an island for him to land on, where he could build a raft and sail after the bad guys to rescue the lady hero. So I looked on a map, and I made a dot where there was an ocean current to help drift him to the island.
where the weather was warm enough for coconuts to grow and where it seemed like a good place for a volcano to have grown into an island long ago. "Will you be my island eyes and tell me what you see? Because I haven't been there, Nim, and I'm not hero enough to ever go. All the best, Alex."